stuff?
Obviously, almost all my other stuff is epistemology related, besides my interviews and debates. This is more general life philosophy, kind of self-help related ideas. And it's another thing I like to focus on my blog. I like to, the same way I like to try to deconstruct and take apart epistemology and beliefs and all that sort of stuff, I also do that with just everyday life. In particular, this topic is boundaries. Another topic, another post I would like to write is going to be titled something like How to Be an INTJ Without Driving Everyone Around You Nuts, because I am an INTJ, and I think that personality type can has some pitfalls to it. Let's just say that. Suzanne, if you're listening, I think you'll probably enjoy that one. So this is actually a blog post, and I'm going to read it. And just because obviously some people prefer to read things, some people prefer to do a podcast or video. And so I'm hitting all three here. You can check out the blog post boundaries on my blog, or this will be on YouTube and my podcast. So now I just need to do like a 3D version, a sign language version, and a modern art abstract version of this, and then, you know, cover like a musical version, of course, to cover all the mediums. So yeah, I'm just going to read through this, and let me just say up front, I'm not a psychologist. I have, but I enjoy taking apart ideas slowly and carefully, and hopefully I've developed a skill at that. And I think even if you disagree with some of the ways I put those parts back together in my kind of final thesis, I hope the exercise of taking apart some of these ideas and rolling it over in my brain and then your brain, you'll be able to figure out your own views on these sort of things. So even though I don't have a psychology degree and I don't have any claim to have a better understanding than anyone else, I hope my own deconstruction of these things will help you figure out your views on it. So on to boundaries. Boundaries is a concept that's talked a lot about these days in Christian communities, not least because of the aptly named book by Cloud and Townsend. It's called Boundaries. It's passed around in a lot of Christian circles. They're both psychologists, by the way, who wrote it. So it has some quality material. But also due to a range of self-help books dealing with how to say no, how to be assertive, and related topics. It's obviously a very important concept of daily life, especially with dealing with any sort of human relationship. I started out earlier in life as a helpless people pleaser, so needless to say, I definitely needed to learn how to effectively use and protect my boundaries. However, I think there are also some common pitfalls with coming up with any sort of framework or guideline for using boundaries, and those pitfalls and paradoxes have been on my mind on and off for years. In this post, so in this podcast or video, I've done my best at boiling down my own understanding of boundaries and try to resolve some of the paradoxes that I think a book like Boundaries either doesn't fully address or does so in a way that is too vague to come away with a fully satisfying understanding of how boundaries are truly supposed to work, especially as a Christian. In particular, one of the things that have bothered me the most is that people who take the idea of boundaries to the extreme can almost sound as if the Good Samaritan would be fully in his right to bypass the injured man on the road, since that man is not within his boundaries. To me, there is something deeply troubling with that. If we approach that parable without a preconceived notion of boundaries, I think we immediately and rightly feel that it is objectively wrong to simply walk by someone bleeding out on the side of the road with no one else around to help. That is a central paradox that I wanted to address: how to honor proper boundaries while also retaining a sense of moral compulsion in a situation like the Good Samaritan. I'm going to pause here to say I wrote this about 2.5 years ago, and I would say I'm pretty proud of this post, partly because I felt like I solved some of these conundrums, and this has been 2.5 years, and I feel like it's really stuck. So, you know, take that as it's, you know, with a grain of salt, as it's worth, and judge for yourself. I don't think I'm saying anything new, and I doubt I'm contradicting a book like Boundaries, which I really liked one bit, honestly. But working through these ideas brought me greater clarity on how to understand boundaries the best I could, so I hope I can help others too. So I hope it can help others too. And as always, feel free to leave feedback with your own thoughts in the comments. So first, what's inside and what's outside my boundaries? I think the primary thing that boundaries teaching is for is to help a person with broken or no boundaries to understand the very important distinction between what is a part of their deal, their life, their money, their physical and emotional health, etc., and what is not a part of their deal. Basically, the same list of stuff, but for everyone else. It might seem simple at first, but just starting with your own family, the overlap and careful separation of all those things is very complex, and we often start off with distortions depending on how we were raised. To take another example, knowing exactly what you are required to do for your position at work and when you are in the right to say no can be tricky. I think this is when a book like Boundaries, that this is the book by Cloud and Townsend I mentioned earlier, I think this is when a book like Boundaries is invaluable. For people who have a broken sense of what their normal daily load is versus what another person's load is, that sort of book can really help you rediscover them. I think the issue is, once you rediscover those boundaries, the paradox of the Good Samaritan then arises. The injured traveler is clearly not in your daily load, your boundaries. He is separate from you and is ultimately responsible for his life, and you are not. At the same time, there is a feeling that it would be objectively wrong to pass someone like that by, and Jesus sure does seem to think so as well. In other words, I think many people come away from freshly absorbed boundaries teaching can become almost myopic towards their own boundaries. They obsess over the idea that what is within their boundaries is their only and sole responsibility and recoil in disgust when pressured to feel guilty about absolutely anything else. I think this might be helpful training wheels, but I think that at best, they are only training wheels. As the Good Samaritan parable shows, what is actually our responsibility morally is more nuanced than that. So instead of thinking in terms of what is inside your boundaries and outside your boundaries, I'd like to introduce another way of framing the issue. So this is core versus situational responsibilities. The problem with talking inside-outside boundaries is that it's not clear when or if you are ever responsible for things outside your boundaries. In fact, it can seem like definition nothing outside your boundaries are your responsibility. But in the parable of the Good Samaritan, it seems like we have a case where you have something that's both outside the Samaritan's boundaries, but also is his moral duty to address. If you try to say, well, the injured traveler is actually within the Samaritan's boundaries since he stumbled upon him, then I think you're starting to stretch the term boundaries to a point where it's now useless. At that point, you're then having to constantly debate what is really inside and what is really outside your boundaries, which the concept of boundaries was supposed to help solve in the first place. Instead, I'd like to introduce a new way to look at it via what I'm calling core or daily versus situational responsibilities. So core or daily, you can kind of call them either, versus situational. Core responsibilities are essentially what is obviously inside your boundaries. Your life, physical and emotional health, your daily duties. These are things that a psychologically healthy person doesn't even question if they are his or her responsibilities or not. You just know they are. You wake up in the morning and you don't think, is today my day to take care of my health or is that someone else's job? You know it's your job. Situational responsibilities are things that normally are not your responsibility, but in certain situations are indeed your responsibility, and you are just as compelled, morally and or otherwise, to act on them. The Good Samaritan is a great example of this. The Samaritan, under ordinary circumstances, would not be responsible for the injured traveler's health. The traveler is responsible for that. But a very specific situation has arisen where the Samaritan has to help this man if he is to do the right thing, that is. If you take nothing else away from this post or this podcast, I would like to submit that the Samaritan is just as obligated to help the injured traveler as he is to take care of his own health. In other words, talk of boundaries in the normal sense is somewhat useless here. the traveler's health for a short time and in a limited way is just as much as a Samaritan's load that day as a Samaritan's own health. I hope most would agree this analysis sits much better with our sense of moral duty than trying to decide if the traveler is or not inside the Samaritan's boundaries and what the consequences of that would be. This next section is called The Importance of Internalizing Choice. There is a second element of choice, responsibility, and boundaries that needs to be discussed, and that I think is implicitly at the heart of a lot of discussions around the idea of boundaries. When we are young, a lot of things we are required to do don't feel like they are our choices. We go do our homework or clean our room because we have to. We help dad with the yard because we have to. There's a distinct lack of agency involved. We do these things, but we don't particularly feel in control of our situation. As we grow older, though, more and more of these actions are moved internally into our own agency, so that we are the ones that ultimately want to do our homework in college because we want to have a good job when we graduate. We still don't want to do these things on a superficial level, but on a deep level, we are choosing it and therefore do want it because that is how we want our life to go. Similarly, we might not like mowing the lawn for our own house, but it's something we choose to do because it's our lawn and we want it to look nice. When this framework of mind is used, we feel much more in control of our situation, and we probably even start to enjoy these previously dreaded tasks, at least to a degree. The difference here is that it doesn't feel like there is an external force that is forcing us to do things anymore. Yes, the grass is annoying and we don't want to cut it now, but it's because of who we are and what we want, a tidy yard, that we choose to mow the lawn. It's an internally generated choice. This is exactly what is meant by having an internal locus of control versus an external locus of control. In the blog post, I linked to more on locus of control. It's a psychological concept that is very helpful. Generally you want an internal locus of control. Children start out with a highly external locus of control, but the ideal mature adult should have an internal locus of control. Once again, meaning that the choices are control of your life feels generated from inside yourself rather than external forces. It's important to realize that even something as basic as health needs to be fully internalized to not be dysfunctional psychologically. But it's surprisingly easy to screw this up. It's easy to think, ugh, why do I have to go to the gym today? I want to do something else. But that becomes dangerous when you truly start to feel like there's an anonymous external force that's pressuring you to go to the gym. That force doesn't exist and only creates pathologies by inventing it in your mind. And it's probably invented as a proxy for a parent or a sense of living a sort of life you were told you were supposed to live or whatever. If you sense that external force pressuring you, you need to step back and decide what you want in life and make that the foundation of all your choices. Do you want to be healthy? You don't have to be. You really can choose differently. But if you want to be healthy and live long, then exercise is required. Therefore, you need to internalize within your own sense of agency that you, due to the person you want to be and the future you want to have, are choosing to go to the gym. This really can be a game changer for people and is something that has definitely impacted me as well. When making moral decisions, this is important as well. You don't have to be loving. You can be a jerk, but what type of person do you really want to be? If you start from the foundation of wanting to be a noble person, then the best course of action is to help out a friend or even a stranger sometimes at great cost to yourself. But this needs to be chosen and fully internalized. As long as you're doing these things as if compelled by an external force, even God, then it will be pathological and dysfunctional. You are not really choosing to do it in that case. You are letting something force you to do something, which will only build up bitterness and rebellion in your heart. You will not be an integrated human being. That's why a lot of sweet, loving church volunteers blow a fuse one day because of all the things they have felt guilted into doing over the years. They sense this constant external force, which might be conceived as God, the leadership at the church, an anonymous voice in their head, family, etc., forcing them to volunteer. They have an external locus of control. And the solution is to step all the way back and say, what person do I want to be? And then ask progressively more specific questions based on that answer to determine what the best course of action is. In the end, explicitly or implicitly, every single decision of your life should be channeled through your individual agency rather than bypassing it, and it be an internalized decision based on who you have decided to be on a foundational level. It should never feel as if an external force is making you do anything. This section is called Internal Choice and Situational Responsibility. So this brings us back full circle to the Good Samaritan. I think a healthy view of boundaries means that if you're in the position of the Samaritan, then you should experience a healthy moral compulsion to help the injured traveler. This comes from asking yourself previously, what kind of person do I want to be? Which leads you to feel compelled by your own very self, in other words, not an external force, to help the traveler. You are not compelled by an external force. You are not in bondage. You are compelled by your own nature according to who you have freely chosen to be. This results in the remarkable combination of both being compelled to do something, but at the same time it coming solely from your own agency rather than some nameless external force that is bullying you around. So you feel like you're freely choosing it. And I think that's the only way to meaningfully be a Good Samaritan. The only other options are to be someone who callously walks on by, or someone that begrudgingly helps the traveler while constantly feeling annoyed and like they are being forced to do something that they don't want to do. One little footnote I added to this was about, I said earlier, it should never feel as if an external force is making you do anything. And for Christians, I added this footnote, a concerned Christian might ask, but can't God simply command something and therefore make us do it? Isn't that an exception? And I would actually say no, unless God is literally taking over your body and forcing you physically to do something, then otherwise the reality is that you are still the one calling the shots in your own mind and body. And it's because of your own commitment to God that you then follow his commands. So even then, it should be a choice that comes through and generated by your internal agency and not some external force. I hope that helped some people. Like I said, this was a big conundrum for me for a long time of both wanting to have good boundaries, but trying to understand the true moral duty of the Good Samaritan. And I mean, I feel like I solved it for myself, at least. So maybe you have a different take, but I hope this kind of deconstruction, reconstruction helps you figure out your own view.